This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, this is Stacey Gottsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees. It is Wednesday, September 29th, and the Yankees beat the Toronto Blue Jays 7-2 in Rogers Centre / Sky Dome in their first time back in Canada in 2 years. We'll have everything you need to know about that game. What a lovely game. And they didn't need Bronxy there. We'll talk about the turtle too, because we have to. The turtle seems to be giving these guys good luck. Before we get into everything, you can listen to this show in Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcast. You can play us on your smart device by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. If you're watching this, you know you can see it on YouTube and you can subscribe and like and comment, but try to be nice. Anyway, let's talk about last night. Okay. I was pleasantly surprised by last night's game, especially because Jameson Taillon had to leave after 2 1/3 innings and only 38 pitches, I believe it was. And then Michael King comes in, he pitches 2 2/3. They combine to give up 2 runs on 3 hits, and that's all Toronto got. Now, given how that offense has been lately, at least during that winning streak when they embarrassed the Yankees for 3 games, I'm shocked that the Yankees bullpen was able to keep them off the board the entire time. I was pleasantly shocked that the offense was able to score a bit against Ryu, because they've had trouble with Ryu. And then they got to the bullpen, which wasn't a shocking thing because Toronto's bullpen has been known to not be that great. That's one of their downfalls. So it was a good all-around game. Obviously, we'll be talking about Giancarlo Stanton because... And that's another thing. He looked like he got injured in his first at bat when he slipped out of the batter's box. And my first thought was, oh no, not now. This is the worst possible timing for this. And he was okay. More than okay. Way more than okay. He's unbelievable. Not even the home run. Well, okay. The home run was unbelievable, mainly because that at bat, Richards threw that pitch to him at least 3 times. The first time Stanton looked at it and watched it, you know, low and inside, I believe it was a changeup. He fouled it off twice before he hit a ball that was, I believe they said 1.26 feet off the ground and hit it 421 feet. Like it was nothing. And I have Blue Jay fan friends on Twitter. One of them sent me a tweet and said, that home run was absolutely absurd. How the hell did he hit that? And as I watched the replay of the at-bat, you realized that no matter what Richards was throwing to him, he was going to hit it, even if he did throw it that low on the ground, because he knew it was coming, because Richards kept throwing that pitch. And then in his last at-bat in the 9th inning, he hit a double over Teoscar Hernandez's head, and it was in the upper outside part of the strike zone. He just poked his bat out and nearly hit a home run, because that's how locked in Giancarlo Stanton is. He said after the game that he hasn't felt this good at the plate since his MVP winning year in 2017. So that's a good thing for the Yankees and their fans. And that's a scary thing for everyone who's facing them the next few games. So let's get into the numbers for the game, because, you know, I love to do that. And we need to talk about it. This was a big win. Their 7th win in a row. As I said, they needed to sweep the Red Sox. They did that. I said they need to win at least 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays. They're on their way to, you know, they have 2 chances now to win 1 out of 2. But hey, if they could get a sweep, that would be amazing. Do I see a sweep? I don't know, but the way they were playing last night, maybe, but I don't know. As I said, when I was previewing the series on yesterday's show, it feels as if all three of those games could go either way. Because, you know, the Yankees had trouble against Ryu in their previous start. And they kind of got to him, you know, it wasn't like they beat him up, but it was better than the last time. Let's go through those numbers. Ryu, 4 1/3, 3 runs. Yeah, that's kind of getting to him. He gave up a home run to Judge. That was also great. That was much needed because the Jays were up at that point, 1-0. So they tied it 1-1. And that was his 37th of the year. Stanton's was his 35th of the year. And Urshela hit a home run in the 9th inning off Richards after not getting hit by a pitch. And they had to look at it on replay. And it's kind of funny. I think the Blue Jays would have preferred for Urshela to get hit by the pitch as opposed to hitting a home run and making it 7-2. And he hit it close to where Stanton hit his, not in the same deck, because I mean, Stanton hit it into the second deck, but in the same general direction. And it was similar, where he kind of reached down and got it. And yeah, but Tyone, 2 1/3, 1 run on 1 hit with a walk and 2 strikeouts. Now, the main thing we need to discuss is the fact that, as I said, Tyone and King combined to hold the Blue Jays to 2 runs on 3 hits. And then the rest of the guys in the bullpen, Michael King, Clay Holmes, Chad Green, Luis Severino, and Wandy Peralta, did not give up a run, did not give up a hit. Clay Holmes had 2 walks. His outing was slightly iffy, but not terrible, obviously. And they all had 1 strikeout. No one gave up a home run to that offense, because that is a scary offense. The Blue Jays are scary. Vlad Jr. is scary. He's up near 50 home run. I mean, he's just scary. Bo Bichette is scary. George Springer is scary. Teoscar Hernandez is scary. You know, and not only is Vlad Guerrero Jr. scary because he hits home runs, he's batting .313. You know, he's a good all around player. He's amazing. Teoscar Hernandez is batting .300. Gurriel Jr., .283. Simeon, he also has a ton of home runs, and he likes to beat up on people, and they held him down. Now, Springer's batting .239, but he's still scary in that lineup. So the Yankees did a good job neutralizing them. And as for their bullpen, Simber, Pearson, Richards, Merriweather, Castro. Ryu got the loss because he gave up the hit to Rizzo that put them up 3-2. And let's talk about Rizzo. Rizzo was 2 for 5. Judge was 2 for 2 with 2 walks, 2 runs batted in. Stanton was 2 for 5 with 3 runs batted in. Urshela had the run batted in. Rizzo had that run batted in. Gallo was 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts. Now, I will say his last strikeout was not a strikeout. He was called on a really BS pitch, clearly on the outside. But the ump had a little bit of trouble. Was that Brian Knight? Brian Knight. The first pitch to Giancarlo Stanton in the home run at bat was clearly inside. I mean, it nearly hit Stanton, and he called it a strike. So Stanton could have been screwed out of that home run, but thankfully he wasn't. These umps. And someone said something to me yesterday that I'm being too cynical and that I was bagging on the umps. I was really bagging on Joe West, because who doesn't bag on Joe West? But the home plate ump had some issues last night. That's all I'll say. So this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport, i.e. the Yankees or baseball. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about MLB. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, NHL, and baseball. Go download the free Green Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. So that includes iPads. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms. Javi of Locked On Padres does rooms all the time. Bryce of Locked On Rangers. I join them sometimes. It's fun. And I'll be sure to let you know once I do a Locked On Yankees room. I might do one on Sunday. Sunday might be a really big day for the Yankees. So download the Green Room app today. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. BetOnline is back and they're better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook updates. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It's not Monday, it's Wednesday. Why am I having a problem reading my live reads? I don't know. Anyway, I'm human. It happens. So, last night's game, I'm pleasantly surprised. I do like that they shut up the Blue Jays fans, though. That was fun. It was so quiet there, especially after Urshela's home run. They were all just sitting there in the stands, all disappointed. And, you know, I'll say this. Blue Jays fans were expecting to do to the Yankees what they did in the previous series. So they weren't expecting last night's game to go at all the way it did. I watch a guy on YouTube who does walking tours of Toronto, and he did a live stream the other night, and we were kind of going back and forth, not really trash talking, but I just said, well, you're going to be my enemy for the next few days. And, you know, he was like, go Blue Jays. And I was like, go Yankees. And I actually was going to ask him if he wanted to come on the podcast to talk to me about it. But he's one of those Blue Jays fans where I think he's actually more into football. He'll root for the Blue Jays when they're doing well, but you know, and then he wished the Yankees luck, which I thought was nice because, you know, a lot of Blue Jays fans won't do that. So anyway, and he's one of those people in Toronto that does not refer to it as Rogers Centre. He calls it Sky Dome because he doesn't like Rogers at all. So, and as I said that on yesterday's show and I've said it before, but a lot of native Torontonians, I think that's what they're called. They don't refer to it as Rogers Centre. They don't like the Rogers Corporation and they still call it Sky Dome. So yeah, let's look at tonight. Gerrit Cole against Berrios. That's an interesting matchup. Now, I thought last night's would be an interesting matchup because, as I said, Tyone was coming back from his injury. Who knew he would be re-injured? Ryu, again, the Yankees usually have problems with him. And again, not like they beat him up, but, you know, 3 runs in 4 1/3 compared to how he shut them down the last time he faced them. That's pretty good. So Cole against Berrios. Berrios is 12-9 with a 3.48 ERA. And he came over from the Twins. That's in 186 innings on the nose. He has 197 strikeouts. And as I said on yesterday's show, if you were watching, it is always better to have more strikeouts than innings pitched. No, MLB, I don't want to give feedback on your app right now. I'm using it for my show. Thank you. His last outing against Minnesota. Oh. He pitched against his former team. He actually lost. 6 innings, 3 runs on 5 hits, 2 walks, but 10 strikeouts. And he had a really good outing against Tampa on the 14th, 7 innings, 1 run on 4 hits with 4 strikeouts, but still got the loss. So we'll see which Berrios comes out against the Yankees. Just in case you don't know, he's a right-hander. And then our boy, Gerrit Cole. He is looking for his 17th win of the year. His ERA is 3.08. That's in 175 and 1/3 innings with 237 strikeouts. Robbie Ray is currently at 244. I mentioned that on yesterday's show, and I will mention it on tomorrow's show because Robbie Ray is pitching tomorrow night against Kluber. Cole got the win in his last start, 6 innings, three runs on five hits, six strikeouts in Fenway. Those three runs came later in the game. He was doing pretty well early in the game. Then he had one of those odd games against Cleveland in the previous start to the Boston start, 5 2/3 innings, seven runs on 10 hits with a walk and seven strikeouts. And then against Baltimore, five innings, one run on four hits, three walks, seven strikeouts. This seems like an every other day or every other start thing for Cole. So we could see not so good Cole tonight. Then again, we could see, you know, mow him down, pitch seven innings Cole tonight. You never know. These Yankees are unpredictable. Right now they're on a roll, which they need to be, because they need to win every game that they play, pretty much. The Rays have not clinched home field advantage yet. I think they have one more win to do that. The Astros beat them last night. So basically, if the Rays do that, then I think they're not going to worry about anything over the weekend. And I think the Yankees might be okay. I don't think the Rays are going to be, well, you never know. The Rays and the Yankees have kind of a contentious past, and you never know, the Rays might be like, let's try and screw the Yankees and make them have to play in a 163 before a wild card game, or you never know. So that's tonight's matchup. No lineups yet, but let's talk briefly about, yeah, I've mentioned the Rays. So the Rays ownership had this very bad idea of hanging a banner. You know how they like their banners. During the playoffs, advertising the fact that they're planning on splitting games between Montreal and Tampa next year. Well, technically St. Pete, because that's where Tropicana Field is. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Your team is the best team in the American League, by far. They're making the playoffs again. They're the defending AL champs. You're excited about this. Your fans are excited about this. And then you do that sort of thing. Now, they took it back, and they will not be hanging a banner expressing this idea. But the idea is, I believe, from what I remember reading, it was a couple days ago, they're going to split time between Tampa and Montreal during the season, like play the first half in Tampa and then play in Montreal. And then they would switch off every other year playing either in Tampa or Montreal in the playoffs. Who wants this? No one wants this. Just build a new stadium in Tampa. What are you doing? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get it where the Tampa taxpayers will agree to help fund a new stadium in Tampa and not St. Pete. Because if you're not familiar with Florida, I'm doing this on YouTube, but I'll try and explain it to the people listening to me on audio. It is, I believe, what you would call a peninsula, right? Because it kind of comes down. It's almost like how Florida is, except the opposite way. So the peninsula that St. Pete is on the west side of the bay. And Tampa is up. And that's why no one is ever there. They'll go to playoff games and stuff like that. And if there are marquee matchups on like weekends, you'll see more fans at Tropicana Field. But on a Tuesday night, you're not going to see that many people in St. Pete. It's a pain in the ass to get to. So when people attendance shame the Rays, and I do it sometimes, but I understand. I've been to Florida. I've been to St. Pete. I've been to Clearwater. I've been to Tampa. I've been to all those places. And I know it's a pain in the butt to get to St. Pete, and I don't understand why they even put the place there. But anyway, it's more of a pain in the butt to get to Montreal from Tampa, so I don't know what they're doing. And Rays fans have a right to be angry about that, and they have a right to be angry at ownership for wanting to put a banner up saying, hey, we're going to split time between Tampa and Montreal. I don't get it. Anyway, you know what time it is right now? It's time for me to talk about Built Bar. Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, like me, they're passionate about their favorites. And if you don't know all the flavors, you're missing out. There's coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor is mint brownie. Love it. Love it so much. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar. They're just amazing. Right now, if you go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Get the mixed box, try everything you can. I'm telling you, they're so good. They really are. I'm not lying. They're so good. And actually, I have some in my fridge and forgot to bring one up. I was actually going to show you that I have them. So use our promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off at built.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Okay, let's talk about the wild card because things are getting wild. Not in the NL, other than the Cardinals never losing. They're up to 17 games in a row, which Cardinals devil magic is alive and well. Let's talk about the AL wild card because that is getting crazy. The Red Sox lost to the Orioles. The Orioles actually did everyone a favor. Now, it's more of a favor to the Blue Jays and the Mariners who have come out of nowhere. The Mariners keep beating up on the A's. The Mariners won their 11th consecutive game against the A's on Tuesday night. The A's aren't a bad team. The A's are 85-73 right now. It's not like they're Baltimore, you know, where they're 51-106. The A's are a good team. And even if they just had five wins out of those 11 losses to the Mariners wouldn't even be in this race. It's crazy. So right now, the Yankees are 2 games up on Boston for the number one wild card spot. Boston is in the second wild card spot. Seattle is half a game behind them. The Blue Jays are a game behind them. Oakland's 3.5. Oakland doesn't have a chance right now. So Seattle has come out of nowhere to do this. It's unbelievable. Okay, my stomach needs to stop growling. I apologize for that. I don't know how this is happening. Seattle, their run differential is minus 50. They are the only team with, let's see. Okay, so Oakland, Toronto, Seattle, Boston, New York, Houston, White Sox, Tampa. Those are all the teams that could possibly, well, all right. Tampa, obviously, White Sox, Houston will be in the playoffs. But out of all those teams, those are the top teams in the AL from Oakland up to Tampa. Seattle's the only team with a negative run differential. Even the Yankees are plus 49. Oakland's plus 63. Toronto's plus 167. Houston is plus 206. Tampa is plus 190. The White Sox plus 150. Did I say the Red Sox? They're plus 72. But you got Seattle at minus 50. How are they doing this? You know how? When I had the former host of Locked On Mariners, DC, on a few months ago, he discussed how the Mariners would hit home runs, but their slugging percentage wasn't that great because they never hit extra base hits other than home runs. Like, it was home run or bust in that lineup, and that seems to be the way. Mitch Haniger hit his 38th home run last night and his 100th of his career. And they seem to be hitting them late in games also. They're kind of, I don't like using the word, but people are saying they're clutch. So that's how they're doing it. You could see if the Yankees keep winning, because, you know, about a week ago, people were saying how it was Boston, the Yankees, and Toronto. They were going to be the three teams battling for the wild card. And now here's Seattle. Boston's kind of falling apart. They've lost four in a row. The Yankees have won seven in a row. Seattle's won three in a row, but they're 9-1 in their last 10. So this has a chance for there to be chaos. I would much rather it be chaos for the second wild card. I would like for the Yankees to wrap up the first spot in the wild card, not have it be anywhere close to a tie, so they get home field advantage in the wild card game, and then the rest of the teams can fight for that second spot. Hey, if there has to be a game 163 for those teams, that would be great. I don't want the Yankees involved in any of that nonsense. Do you hear me, universe? I really don't, because that would be too much. That would be too much for all of us. This season has been too much of a roller coaster for us to be able to deal with a 163 or, you know, the Red Sox kind of surging back and then the wild card game having to be in Fenway and the Yankees facing the Red Sox in Fenway, because no matter what happened this past weekend, there always seems to be shenanigans in Fenway, and I don't trust that place as far as I could throw it. And I can't throw it physically. I can't throw anything at this point. So, yeah, no. No, thank you. Let's talk about the National League wild card, because St. Louis literally came out of nowhere. They've won 17 in a row. They were under 500 at one point, and they just won't stop winning. So at this point, the Dodgers are plus 13 on St. Louis. So the Dodgers are guaranteed to be, if they don't catch up to San Francisco. San Francisco is at 103 wins. They tied the 93 team for most wins in franchise history. By the way, that 93 team with 103 wins didn't make the playoffs because there was no wild card. And the Braves had, I think, one or two wins more. Not only that, San Francisco, on the last day of the season, lost like 11-0 to the Dodgers, right? And Brett Saberhagen was pitching, I believe. And the Braves won like 5-3. And that's how, I think there was a one-game difference. Because if you all recall, before the divisions changed and the wild card came, the Braves were in the West. The Atlanta Braves were in the NL West. Yes. I remember. Everyone my age remembers that. It wasn't that long ago, but it was that long ago. So in the wild card race, Cincinnati's 6.5 back from St. Louis. There's no way for them to catch up. So St. Louis and could be, it's probably going to be St. Louis and the Dodgers in the NL wild card. And speaking of run differential, the Dodgers, plus 248. What did I say Baltimore was? Minus 276. That's, wow. What can you say about that? And then Baltimore is so bad, and yet they beat Boston last night. They came back to win Boston last night in Baltimore. And the Baltimore Twitter account was basically like, you're welcome to the Blue Jays, the Mariners, and the Yankees, which I thought was very funny. You know, some of these social media people are really hilarious and they're really good at their jobs. And yeah, Baltimore's having a fun time trolling the Red Sox. So keep doing it. Keep doing that. Keep beating them. You know, we would have liked for you to have beaten them a couple of weeks ago or like a week ago, whenever that other series was. But okay, you're making up for it now, Orioles. So good job. So Yankees win a big game. They need to win two more big games against, or at least one more big game against Toronto. We'll see if that happens. We have Cole going tonight. So, you know, which Gerrit Cole shows up? Let's hope it's the one. I hope it's the one that showed up against the Angels that night and just shoved. Or the one that showed up against Houston in July and really shoved. Yeah, that would be great. That would be a good thing. Gerrit Cole, if you could do that. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees And baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. If you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We'd really appreciate it. And subscribe to us on YouTube. So enjoy your Wednesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.